the Fox Cities Score Chapter, and News Talk 1150 WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, here is Biz Talk.
Our Biz Talk program is brought to you each weekend by the local Fox City Score Chapter, and we'll be talking a little bit about our Score Chapter as we go through the show. Our guest this morning is Sarah DeBruin. Sarah is an attorney and a founder of Legal Business Edge. She's a Score mentor, and we are very happy that she's also a Biz Talk sponsor, and we appreciate all of the support that her law firm provides to Score and to Biz Talk. Want to say good morning, Sarah. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony and Randy. It's great to be here again.
Good to have you.
Glad to have you back again, Sarah. We'd like you to tell us, first of all, a little bit about your background and what is Legal Business Edge? What sort of law do you practice? You know, where you're located. Give us a little background.
Sure. Great. I've been an attorney since 1992. I went to law school in Ohio, so I'm a certified lawyer in Ohio and Wisconsin. I have been practicing here since about 1997. I started out my law career in a large law firm in Columbus, Ohio, represented mostly employers and did business litigation. When I moved back here, I started a career as an in-house general counsel for a local manufacturing company. I was there 10 years, and in 2011, I founded my firm, Legal Business Edge. What I do in Legal Business Edge is mainly a business practice. I represent employers in all types of business litigation situations, contract drafting, and because of my experience as general in-house counsel for a manufacturing company, I had much experience. I developed a lot of experience in intellectual property law. And that is also a main component of the practice that I have now.
Are you certified to practice before the state Supreme Court? Or oftentimes you hear about attorneys having that background, taking case to a higher level.
Right. Well, I am certified before the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the Ohio Supreme Court. And I also have certifications in federal district courts and federal appeals courts.
Okay. And where's your office located, Sarah?
My law office is located at 2631 North Meade Street. It's in Appleton on the corner of Northland Avenue and Meade Street. I've been there since about a year right now. I used to be downtown and moved to the north side.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah, now you said you had started out pretty much corporate and large structure law. Now you've shifted to small business. How do you find that shift, and what is it like working with small business here in the Valley?
Well, I really enjoy working with small businesses, and that really was the reason I founded my law firm. I wanted to be that general counsel for small businesses who could not afford an in-house counsel, and I wanted to deal with whatever business issues, employment issues, intellectual property issues small businesses have, and I find it very exciting to watch my clients succeed and become successful.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, begs the question, what is small business? So you're probably not doing work for Microsoft or General Motors, but what is a larger client you do work with? You're not just doing startup companies, you're doing existing companies. How big are those companies that you work for?
Well, my largest company is a local company with I know in the Valley at least 10 different locations. I would imagine 10,000 employees. I also work with another local company that has about 1,000 employees. Mm-hmm. Several of my other companies are startups, like you said, or ongoing business businesses that might have 20, 30 employees.
I think it's a great example of a person who's been in a career, whether it be legal, accounting, banking, production, You get a lot of big company experience, and then you decide, you know what, I can do this myself, and I can pay some of this forward, but I can still service the big accounts that I was working with in my career.
Absolutely. A lot of like small businesses just out of the bank, out of the, you know, out of the right away, they cannot afford a lot of attorney time. So I usually work with small businesses over time to help them.
And Sarah, do you, we're going to be talking about intellectual property this morning. We're going to try to dedicate the show to that, although we invite callers to call in with any question if you have about anything to do with your business contracts or anything like that. Let me give out the phone number right now on that, 281-1150. If you have a question for Sarah, 281-1150. And if you're outside Appleton, it's 1-866-887-1150 on the TDS Metricom toll-free line. Sarah, tell us a little bit. First of all, define what is intellectual property. That can be a pretty broad world.
It is a broad world. Intellectual property is something I think many business owners just don't understand or they're afraid of. When you break it down, intellectual property can be a patent. It can be a trademark. It can be a copyright. And it one of the oldest forms, believe it or not, of intellectual property is a trade secret. And by that, I mean, think about the formula for Coca-Cola or WD-40 right. oil. Those are trade secrets that have been kept for hundreds of years.
They're not even registered with. They didn't. No one tried to protect the Coca-Cola.
Well,
formula.
Yeah, it's very hard to patent a recipe.
Right.
You can do it, but they wanted to keep it as a trade secret. And I imagine Coca-Cola has very stringent rules on what their employees can and cannot say, and agreements in place with those employees.
Right.
Okay, and Sarah, now with the change into the wonderful world of data and all of that type of thing, some of the other areas that have now gotten involved as far as intellectual property, what about things like my customer list, my data material, how does that come into play?
Well, that could be considered confidential information,
okay.
where you can protect that by a non-disclosure agreement, and actually that's what I really want to talk about today is how do business owners protect their ideas, inventions, innovations, customer lists, employees,
sure. yeah.
business relationships without having to file patents or mm-hmm. go through a lengthy and costly procedure for getting their ideas protected.
Those are some of the things that the person in a small business doesn't even think about when you start using the words intellectual property, but that is, it's valuable information. It's part of their business. It's part of their income, their asset and liability statement, and it's something that really does need protection.
Sure. If you have a customer base of 30, 40 people as a small business, that's something you do want to protect in a non-disclosure agreement, for instance.
Okay. Yep. We have a caller this morning. Tim, thanks for calling in. I appreciate the call. Do you have a question for Sarah?
This is Tim out of the Wapaka area. Entrepreneur, we're doing a lot of work in a display, a lot of different materials and properties going into the retail market. But we specialize in display units and those types of things. And we're doing intellectual property, a lot of things in the process that are unique, and we're trying to really be out there in the creativity. Is there ever a possibility of doing like a non-disclosure, non-compete with your employees? So we've been established for several years now, but we feel that the need to do something to protect the business. And what I'd like to do is hang up and listen to the response if possible, because I'm real interested in your answer.
Well, thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate it. Sarah?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a good segue into actually what I want to talk about. If you have unique and inventive ideas and you are not able to afford filing a patent, patents can cost, tens of thousands of dollars. They take 3 to 5 years to acquire. One thing you can do with your employees is have them sign what is called a non-disclosure agreement, where they are not allowed to talk about your innovative ideas or disclose it to third parties. Any third party that you are working with to develop your ideas, you want a non-disclosure agreement with. A non-disclosure agreement, another word for it, is a confidentiality agreement. You want to get as long a period of time as you can. If you can get a non-disclosure or confidentiality agreement with no time period limitation, that's very powerful. Your employees can sign that when they're hired. If you have current employees, you can have them sign it without any further consideration. And in that agreement, you can also add what are called restrictive covenants, and those are non-compete covenants and non-solicitation of your employees. Those are restrictive covenants that keep your employees from leaving your business, stealing your ideas, and starting up their own business.
Could those covenants also include the requirement that if you have any material regarding the subject matter, you have to return it to us? And any copies, you can't keep any copies. Everything you own has to come back to the company if you leave.
Absolutely, and that leads into the idea of trade secrets. If your employees have exposure to those innovative ideas and the issues behind it, a confidentiality agreement protects those ideas as trade secrets. And theft of it, yeah. You can write in a provision. You usually, in a non-disclosure, you define confidential information. And if there is a particular trade secret, you treat those separately, and they remain a trade secret forever as long as you, as the employer, take means to protect it.
Mm-hmm. Well, employers work very hard to develop those. It's risky to take it to market. There's a lot of work to be done to take it to market. And as you pointed out, Sarah, you have to be careful who's exposed to this material. Could be employees, vendors, suppliers, experts who are working with you to develop it, marketing people who are trying to market that for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct. And that's the other type of non-disclosure agreement you can have. You can have a non-disclosure agreement with any of your vendors. A party who's going to be developing or helping you develop or manufacture your idea. Mm-hmm. Those types of non-disclosures are called one-way non-disclosures because you are giving them all of your trade secret or confidential information to develop an idea for you. If you are working with a manufacturer or another vendor who's going to be developing your product and needs designs to go from, needs a sample or some type of mold or model to go from, that manufacturer may develop what's called a CAD drawing or a design drawing. Yep. And what you want to get in that case is what's called a work for hire agreement with that manufacturer or designer. And that work for hire agreement says you own whatever that party develops for you.
Well, we're coming up on our first break, and it's pretty apparent right now that if you're out there and you're thinking about copyrights, patents, and any intellectual property, don't try to go it alone. You have to talk to an attorney. We're going to be coming back and talking more about this material, this subject matter, when we're finished with the break. And we'd invite you to stay with us. You're listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts & Haling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting, from startup to sell-off, and more. They specialize in creating comfortable financial management plans for you and your business. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Alberts & Haling, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Alberts & Haling CPAs are not affiliated entities.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You've been looking for a new house.
Hey, this one's nice.
You're searching online and touring open houses.
Ooh, I like this one.
It's time to get pre-approved. And nobody makes it faster or easier than Fox. Get free pre-approval for your loan right now. Come into one of 17 Fox locations or get pre-approved online. You can also check your loan rate online. How easy is that? Just visit foxcu.org.
Okay, that was really easy.
Once you find the home of your dreams, don't let the stress of the home loan get in your way. Talk to the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Just 3% down on your loan.
Fox made it happen.
You can find the home of your dreams. Fox, helping you make life happen.
Equal housing opportunity lender.
Fox Communities.
Now, welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're really glad you joined us. Our guest is Sarah DeBruin. Sarah is an attorney and the founding partner, only partner, in Legal Business Edge Law Firm here in Appleton on north of Mead Street. And we're going to continue our conversation with Sarah in just a moment, but first we'd like to tell you a little bit about our SCORE chapter, since it is our Fox City SCORE chapter that brings you Biz Talk each weekend. Our SCORE chapter is headquartered in the Chamber Building in downtown Appleton. We have about 55 volunteer mentors serving an eight-county area from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac. And SCORE is part, our chapter is one part of about 350 chapters around the country. SCORE is a national organization, and we're real happy to announce that we're celebrating our 40th year this year as the Fox City chapter. We've been at this since 1976, and we've helped a lot of businesses along the way. And really a thank you to all those volunteers who dedicate their time and their expertise and are willing to pay it forward or pay it backward to help other people learn those lessons that they went through as they ran their businesses. If you'd like to learn more about our SCORE chapter, you can visit us at foxcities.score.org. And here's an invitation for you. If you're a business owner or thinking of starting a business, email us at foxcities.score.org, check us out, and we can provide free confidential mentoring services for you for the life of your business. We can help you start a business. We can help you solve problems because we have experts with disciplines in accounting, marketing, HR, production, banking, cash flow, legal issues. If you have questions about your business, check us out at foxcities.score.org.
And Tony, like you just said, to remind everybody, those mentoring sessions, that kind of counseling is absolutely free with SCORE. So for businesses starting out, it's a great way to get the information you need and not break the bank.
Yep, that's right. Sarah, we were talking about intellectual property in the first section, and we kind of went down into copyrights and starting to talk about patents. But tell us again, where's your office located? And if someone wanted to come in and start the process with you, what would that process be like?
Well, as I said before, my office is in Appleton, located on the corner of Northland Avenue and Mead Street. If someone would like to come in and talk to me about intellectual property or contract work, my practice is that I give that person a free consultation period to come in, sit down, talk to me for an hour or two. Without charging you, and we'll see what we need to do. We'll formulate a plan in that hour.
And that's the time you would spend talking to the client to discover what their needs are and can you meet those needs. And many times the client may not be able to articulate the need, but through a discussion they get to that point.
Yeah, we really usually narrow down what steps need to be taken and in what order.
Sarah, what is your email address or your website address? And also, what is your phone number?
My website is www.legalbusinessedge.com. My phone number is 920-851-7761.
And you also have a catchy tagline on your law firm.
My tagline is Know Your Options.
And that is so important to choose the right, be informed and make an informed decision.
Correct. I want my clients to have their options set forth before them.
Okay. And yeah, that's, again, very, very similar, of course, to SCORE's goals and so on. And that's why your working with SCORE's fit in so well with us. The areas, again, we're talking today about intellectual property is one I think that almost every one of our clients talk about. The basic one, first of all, is talking a little bit about copyrights. You know, everybody thinks they're going to get their logo, this, that, the other thing. Can you just give us kind of a brief idea of copyrights, what they're all about?
Well, a copyright covers a work of authorship or a work of art.
Okay.
Once that work of art or some written piece of material is...
Excuse me. By art, it's not a picture. It could be a brand name or something like that, right?
Well, you can copyright a logo. You could copyright a logo.
Right.
Usually I would suggest trademarking that logo because it signifies a brand for your product.
Got it.
But copyrights may apply to something, for instance, like the drawings that someone does to help manufacture or to be the plan for manufacturing your idea. The copyright belongs to the person who did the work of authorship.
Mm-hmm.
It's put into form. As soon as your idea is put into form and put into on paper, it is copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
To register a copyright is automatic. You go to the U.S. copyright website. It costs $45, and you can register it in your name, and copyrights have a very long period of existence. That's the one-time fee. You don't have ongoing fees and that sort of thing to keep it going. There's I believe the new law, it's just recently changed, is 60 years from the date of authorship for copyrights. And that's why I was talking about work for hire agreements before. The designer who draws your CAD drawings for you to take to a manufacturer is really the owner of that copyright, unless you get a work for hire agreement, which
yes.
says you are telling him what to design and how to do it. And then that work for hire agreement says any work product that designer or CAD drawer comes up with belongs to you, the employer.
A lot of people miss that, and they think they own that, but it's really the designer, the person you hired, ends up owning it.
That's correct.
Does that apply to software programs as well, if someone is writing a software program for someone?
Yeah, there's a debate, and it's been ongoing for a while, whether you patent software or it's a copyrighted piece of work. The trend now is that you patent software designs or software code or software programs.
Website
you come
development.
Up with absolutely. You're going to patent that. But a website development is different. Somebody devising a website for you and developing it, that's another situation where you want to work for hire and you want to make sure with that designer, and most of them do allow this.
They're pretty ethical.
They will give that copyright to you.
How do you know that something is copyrighted? Is there a little symbol behind, like a circle C or something?
Well, what you do, if you are publishing your work of your work of authorship, you put on the bottom of it C with a circle, copyright, the year you're copyrighted or developed it, your name of your business, and then you put afterwards a period and the phrase, all rights reserved.
Got it. We're at our first second break already. We have to take our second break. This goes really fast, and we're learning a lot from Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge here in Appleton. And you're listening to BizTalk on WHBY. Real local radio.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Haling CPAs, they work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and maximize profits. Through a variety of services like asset protection, tax planning, and more, let them guide you through a smooth financial plan. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or Green Bay at 405-8549. Albertson Haling, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Haling CPAs are not affiliated entities.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Ridgestone Bank. When it comes to business lending, you know we don't have boxes. I'm here with Christy Schwan from Stellaris Employee Benefits. We help Christy with a business buyout in a unique area of lending, the service industry.
I did talk with other banks that had some significant limitations on how they might be able to help me. I didn't have any hard assets on which they could base their valuation. Ridgestone Bank's financing decisions were not based on hard assets. Instead, what I had was cash flow, so they were able to, again, look at things in a very unique way and in a way that allowed me to purchase companies in what was typically a complex situation, and they made it very, very simple for me. Because of their flexibility, because of the range of options that they provided for me, I don't think I'd be sitting where I am today if I hadn't worked with Ridgestone Bank.
Ridgestone Bank, listening to your story and finding a way to make it work. Whatever your it is. On the web at Ridgestone.com. That's Ridgestone.com. Member FDIC.
And welcome back to BizTalk this morning. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin, founder and owner of Legal Business Edge, who deals just in business law with intellectual properties, contracts, employment agreements, and so on. We're going to tell you a little bit about the SCORE chapter quickly. Then we have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Jax in just a minute, so hold on, Jax. And then we're going to go back to Sarah DeBruin. But first of all, we told you a little bit about what SCORE is in the Valley, and we do free confidential mentoring and so on. We also do seminars and webinars and things, educational things. Randy, what's coming up? We've got a schedule of a couple of events coming up.
Well, right now I've got something coming up that we're very, very proud of. There's very few places in the country that have been able to offer this particular program. It's especially designed for veterans and their spouses. It's called the Reboots to Business. It's allowed for all veterans, if you are, for no matter what area you served in, as long as you're a qualified veteran. This is a free program where you'll be able to be involved in 2 full days of seminars regarding how to start your business, what it's all about, what the SBA does, what the VA does. The program is going to be held on August 24th and 25th here in Appleton. And as I said, we've been selected, very few in the country have this this particular program allowed. Anyway, we'll be doing this at the UW Appleton Education Center, which is located off of Capitol Drive. As I said, the program is free. So you can go out to our website, which is foxcities.score.org, punch in the information there. It'll take you right to the VA registration site, and they will then you can register for the program, get all set. There will be booklets available on it. There's basically 9 segments to this, so it'll be two days.
Yeah. Lunch included?
Lunch included, great. Absolutely. And we'll make sure that everybody is involved in the program.
What's your next one?
The next one is going to be one that we do locally here. This is going to be held in September. Many of you have heard of it. We're familiar with it. We do what is called Simple Steps. That is a program that is basically 5 segments. It is held over a 5-week period, about 16 hours, and includes, again, how do I start a business? What's important as far as legal issues? What do I have to know as far as marketing? What's important as far as understanding financial documents? And then the final one is a course called Where Do I Find the Money,
sure.
Which, Tony, you're involved very heavily in teaching that one, and how do I live with my banker and get things done. So it's a great program. That one starts on September 21st. The first segment is in the morning from 8 until noon, and that'll be held at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop in downtown Appleton. That program is going to be $15 for that one. The rest of them are every Wednesday evening thereafter for the next 4 weeks, and those are $25 each. Again, all the details, all the information about registration is at www.foxcities.score. You register right there, and we'll get you all squared away.
And, Randy, quick question on the reboot program for veterans. You don't need to be a startup. You could be an existing business, right?
That's correct. As I said, it goes all the way back to, Tony, even back when you were in the Civil War, if you wanted to come and learn more about how to be in business.
But if I was a veteran looking to start a business or if I'm a veteran who already owns a business?
Correct. Always. Help.
All veterans?
Yes.
Any stage of business development?
Correct.
Got it. There's also one going on in Green Bay we want to help our SCORE partners in Green Bay with. June 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 evening, there's a topic up there for everything you wanted to know about franchising but never thought to ask. And this is a real authority on franchising. A guy named Paul Tutsky will present interesting and informative facts about the world of franchising. Now retired, Paul enjoyed a long career as an executive with Snap-on Tools. They don't get much better than Snap-on. A graduate of St. Norbert College and Concordia University, Paul went on to earn his MBA in franchising from the International Franchise Association. So if you're interested, check it out. You can register at www.greenbay.score.org. $20, 5:30 to 7:30 on the evening of this coming Wednesday, June 29. Seating is limited, so if you're interested in attending, please register now. And finally, one more announcement for you. We are promoting the 1 Million Cups program that's held out at Fox Valley Tech each Wednesday morning from 9 until 10 o'clock. 1 Million Cups is a free national program designed as a gathering to educate, engage, and connect entrepreneurs and the community ecosystem that supports them. It was developed by the Kauffman Foundation. 1 Million Cups is based on the notion that entrepreneurs discover solutions and network every Wednesday morning from 9 to 10. Appleton Sessions enjoy free coffee donated by the Copper Rock, and it's hosted by the Venture Center at Fox Valley Technical College. If you're interested in presenting, attending, or following, go to 1 Million Cups Appleton, Google 1 Million Cups Appleton for more details. This week's presenter is Barb Luring, a graphic visual recording business for businesses. So, and the other thing I'd like to mention is this coming Wednesday, we're going to have a special guest in Appleton. Jordan Marcillo is the national coordinator of the 1 Million Cups programs. She's with the Kauffman Foundation in Kansas City. She's coming to visit us on Wednesday morning at the Fox Valley Tech. So if you want to find out all about Million Cups, come on out and visit us on Wednesday morning at Fox Valley Tech. So I want to thank everybody for that. And we have a caller on the line. Jax, thanks for holding. Jax?
Hello?
Hello, Jax. Thanks for holding. You have a question for Sarah?
Yeah. Sarah, in regards to intellectual property, can you explain the difference between being an employee versus being an independent contractor when it comes to a person wanting to sort of maybe start their own business or brand themselves on social media or make a name for themselves? If they're an employee, does their employer automatically have rights to that? What's the difference, and what is an employee's right in their own property?
Well, an employer by law has a right to its intellectual property, to its trade secrets, to its confidential information, and employees owe a duty of loyalty to their employer. They can't go out and blab everything, but you do need to have protection for your employees, and those were the non-disclosure agreements and non-solicitation agreements and non-compete agreements that we were talking about earlier. Now, many small businesses start out, before they hire employees, they use independent contractors to provide services to their businesses. And the independent contractor, if I could just define it for a moment, is somebody that might provide services to many different businesses. They're not exclusive to your business, but perhaps it's a web designer. That's an independent contractor. They provide website designs for many different types of businesses. But what you could do in the circumstance of having an independent contractor is use those same types of employee agreements as you would in an employment circumstance with those independent contractors. And by that, I mean the non-compete agreements, the non-solicitation of your employees agreements, and definitely, at the bare minimum, a non-disclosure agreement with that independent contractor. And that would be a one-way non-disclosure agreement where they don't disclose anything that is confidential or private about your business.
Jackie, does that answer your question?
Well, it does. It gives it some clarity. I'm just wondering about when there's a person who's an employee for a business and has their own hobbies and interests, maybe not similar to what that employer does as a business, and then that employee goes out and really makes it for themselves with their own stuff. Can that employer, you know, seeing how well this person is doing, claim that stuff as their own because the person was employed with them while they did their own thing? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That's a really good question. Typically, the employer's rights to what an employee does are derivative from the work that employee does for the employer. What is that employee's job?
Okay.
You know, if they're going out and they're starting a dog walking business and you have a business where you're manufacturing something and they go out and develop this really successful business, you don't really have a right to that because that's not what you do for a business.
Okay.
And it doesn't conflict with what you do for a business.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to know, just like as far as what an employee you know, their rights are and an employer's rights.
Sure.
You know, intellectual property can be sticky.
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Jax.
Thanks for the call.
Yep. Yep.
Quick follow on that. Is there some distinction, too, as if you were working or the employer can show that you were working on this idea while at the point of place of employment, does that become a question that can be argued then as to the employer's rights versus yours as an individual?
Absolutely. There's case law, and generally case law means court-developed law that requires that employee to have a duty of loyalty to you. So if 2 years later he takes an idea that he was working on or a project he was working on to a new employer, even 2 years later, you find that out and they're becoming, this new business is becoming successful because of the contributions your employee took to them, you do have a cause of action there. But to make it a stronger cause of action, you would want to have the non-disclosure agreements, the non-compete agreements in place. And those are tricky agreements. You have to have them drawn up a certain way because it's very regulated by state law.
Okay. Need an attorney. And how do they find you?
You can find me at www.legalbusinessedge.com. Call me at 920-851-7761 or just look me up on the web, Sarah DeBruin.
And they come to you so that they can know their options.
Absolutely. Know your options.
We're talking about registrations, copyrights, trademarks. What is a trademark?
Well, a trademark is a name or a symbol that you want to brand your product. It's really a brand development. If you think of the way Coca-Cola writes the name of their product on every can, that is a trademarked logo. Or the logo that Pepsi uses with the red, white, and blue
or
circles,
Nike.
Or Nike, the Nike swoosh. Yeah. Those are trademarks. Trademarks become synonymous with the product, and they develop. You develop association between that mark and the product, and that mark signifies quality. It signifies the worth of what your product is.
When would a business owner want to pursue such a trademark?
One way I would suggest using a trademark is if you're not going to be filing a patent right away, you could trademark your name of your business, your product, and I would do it as pretty early on in the process so you are signifying to the world that you have ownership over this trademark, which eventually becomes associated with a product, and you show ownership over the product as well.
Nike has the swoosh as their trademark brand. Could I use the swoosh for outboard engine repair company?
Well, trademarks are actually limited to this classification of services and goods which you register your trademark in. So I think Nike would really fight you on that.
Sure.
But the point is,
it's classification.
Right. It depends on the use of the trademark is going to be used in, because it can't be in the same business so that mark is confusing with your mark and it confuses consumers or third parties.
Yeah, Coca-Cola couldn't be used in another soft drink.
No.
And probably not anywhere else because they're so big.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I ran into that situation in my job as general counsel with a large company where we had a logo for product that we were going to be recycling, and it was close enough to what, you know, I didn't see it, but they saw it. It was close enough that they came after us, and we had to let go of that mark or redesign it.
Okay, well, Sarah, you know, of course, when we start talking about intellectual property, the big thing is always patents. I got to get a patent. I have to get a patent. For the small business, how important is that, and what are the alternatives? What's the best ideas to follow?
Well, a patent is going to protect you and give you a monopoly in the marketplace. You can control who sells, who manufactures that particular product. A patent is a process that takes 3 to 5 years. It's $10,000 to $50,000. A small business may not be able to afford that. But you have to be careful as a small business. If you are marketing and selling a product for more than a year, you cannot file a patent on that product. So you want to be careful. One thing you can do is, on your own even, go on the website at the USPTO.gov. That's USPTO.gov. That's the Patent and Trademark Office. And look up the forms for filing a provisional patent. And what that does is you get a filing date. And in that provisional patent, you can write just a couple paragraphs, but be very specific about what your invention, what you believe your invention is. And you secure a filing date. It's like a placeholder for that date. You have a year from that date to develop or file a utility patent, and then that process will be reviewed by the patent office at that point.
Okay.
Well, we're going to come back after our last break here. We're going to wrap up the patent conversation because there's just a little bit more to be said on that. We thank you for listening to BizTalk here on WHBY. We'll be right back after the break. WHBY, Real Local Radio.
At Albertson Hailing CPAs, your success is their success. They can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. They offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Albertson Hailing, simplifying the steps toward success. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Hailing CPAs are not affiliated entities.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
And we're back with Sarah DeBruin this morning, Legal Business Edge. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to our last segment. And before we continue with Sarah, we'd like to thank the sponsors who bring you BizTalk each week. Without them, we couldn't really bring you the program. Those sponsors include Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Hailing CPAs, Legal Business Edge LLC, Sarah DeBruin's company, and Sarah's our guest this morning. Also want to thank Ridgestone Bank and Tundra Land in Kaukauna, and two special sponsors who help us out with things on BizTalk, Candeo Creative, Zach Pawlowski, who helps us maintain our website, biztalkwithscore.com. If you've missed a program or you would like to re-listen to a program, visit us at biztalkwithscore.com. On that site, you can also see who's coming up next week and the week after that, our future guests. And also Jerry Mader and Larry Desch at the Business News for helping to promote our program and their biweekly periodical, The Business News. If you're in business or going into business and you're not subscribed to The Business News for $20 a year, you really should be, because it brings you a lot of information about the business environment that you are in so you can succeed better. Sarah, we have a question from a caller. No, we're going to talk about the first to file on patents. You wanted to make a clarification on that.
Sure. The law has been changed in the last couple of years. Okay. The U.S. has traditionally, from the beginning of the creation of the patent office, said that a patent belongs to the party who first conceives of it, of the idea. Typically, employers in that situation had to have very clear documentation on dates and developments of ideas and how the ideas were researched and developed over time. And if you could prove you had that idea before someone else who filed a patent, you could argue that it was your patent to begin with. That law changed a couple of years ago to be the same as the rest of the world. Every place else in the world has a first-to-file rule. Mm-hmm. And the first-to-file means whoever gets to the patent office first, they own that idea. They own that invention. They own that patent right. And if you miss that, if you don't use protections like those that I have talked about this morning, you could miss that right.
And that could be very,
to your invention.
Very
you need to file first,
yeah.
and that's where the provisional patent actually comes in.
Exactly.
You can file that and secure that date.
And that provisional patent is good for 1 year?
1 year from the date of filing, you have to convert it to a non-provisional patent.
Is it made public?
It's not made public until 18 months, after you file the provisional.
So if it dies after a year, no one's really seen it, it's never been...
If it dies, if you don't follow it after a year, it goes away, it's never been published.
Yeah, okay. During the break, we had a caller call in with a question on what is the protocol for enforcing non-compete clauses? That was a question from David, and thanks, David.
Well, non-compete clauses are pretty tricky because the law is evolving in Wisconsin. Traditionally, non-compete clauses have been very employee-friendly. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has said it's public policy to protect the employee's right to go get a job in the field that he has experience in anywhere. There are very strict requirements as far as time limits, geographical limitations that you can restrict an employee from in order to enforce those restrictive covenants. Now, to do that, to enforce it, an employer would have to go to state court, a circuit court, and get what's called an injunction.
Okay.
Okay, so those would be the steps you need to follow
right.
To make sure you can enforce
an
it.
Injunction not to allow that employee to go out and compete. It's called a preliminary injunction.
Again, did you say order. What's the kind of limitation usually that they have on those?
Well, if you really want to stretch it under Wisconsin law now, it's the utmost time period you can stretch to is probably 2 years. I would usually advise 18 months to be within that limitation. Geographical limitations may be 100 miles or less. I wouldn't go beyond that. The law, like I said, is evolving. Governor Walker has proposed legislation that will make it easier for employers.
Okay. And folks, Sarah, where can folks find you or how do they contact you if they have some questions?
You can contact me at 920-851-7761. You can look on my website. I have some of the templates for non-disclosure agreements there that you can download.
Perfect.
My website is www.legalbusinessedge.com.
Sarah, as always, I find out that this moves so fast, and we reach that point in time always where we ask our guests to give us their biz tip, some little bit of wisdom that you want to make sure people get from the program.
The waters of intellectual property are very nuanced, very restricted. So I would always consult an attorney, and it doesn't cost you any money to come in and see me and talk to me for an hour.
Okay.
And where do they find you again? I didn't write that down before.
It's on the corner of North Mead Street and Northland Avenue, and my number is 920-851-7761.
Sarah, thank you for being our guest this morning. It was very informative. I've already gotten texts from 3 people saying they've learned a lot.
Awesome. Thank you.
So thanks for being our guest this morning, and thanks for what you do for the Sport Chapter. Quick reminder, next week we're going to have Jordan Marcia, Amy Peach, and Mark Burwell from Fox Valley Tech on the show. We're talking about a Million Cup program. It's going to be pre-recorded, so listen in and enjoy the rest of your week. You've been listening to BizTalk at WHBY, Real Local Radio.